Hello, hello, hello.
What up?
Welcome to The Plot Strikes Back. Bum, bum, bum. We are here today to talk about probably one of the best TV shows ever created.
Yes.
The Sopranos.
Yeah, finally.
And it being 2024 is the 25th anniversary of the first season of this wonderful Italian mob show.
So good.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm obviously glad you finally watched it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it hasn't been that long since I rewatched it, but it's just, I don't know, like watching it recently and just seeing some of the old things that are used, like the flip phones.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got Chris going out to a booth making phone calls, you know, which is just crazy.
Yeah. It's just, it's very, I mean, it's old school.
Yeah.
It ran from what, 99 to 2006
or 7, I forget. I think it was 7.
I think 7.
It was when it ended for the last season. Because I know season 6, they did like 2 parts.
Really?
Yeah.
I just binged it all.
Well, yeah. Well, like, it's they stopped halfway through the season. Like, I think the last episode where it ended was when they went to like the lake house or whatever.
Oh, for the weekend.
When Tony fights, he fights Bobby.
Bobby.
Yeah. Which, yeah, what a great episode. And what a great scene. It's definitely a show that isn't for the faint hearted. And it's definitely one of those shows that if you don't like violence and you don't like drugs and you can't stand watching that stuff, like, then it's obviously not for you. But again, like,
it's a mob movie,
right? Like, yeah, it's like, if you've watched any other mob movies, then you kind of should know what you're getting into. And yeah, obviously I know quite a few people have watched The Sopranos, and there are obviously some that haven't, but it's always a show that, like, if it's like, what's one of the best shows that was ever created that you have to watch? I mean, to me, it's always like one of my highly recommended shows.
I would now say the same thing.
Yeah.
Now that I've seen it all.
And it's definitely a show for me that I'll probably like go back and watch like every, you know, every several years. Like, because I kind of did that in the past. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when it came out, you know, I was like 14 years old when it came out. So I didn't even watch it until I want to say I was probably 17.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine, well, he... Obviously, times back then were different in how to rip information onto CDs and whatnot. You know?
Yeah, like burn it.
Oh, yeah, dude. Burning CDs. And
the world was so much simpler then.
Yeah, it was, you know. And so I went back and watched the first couple seasons by the time I was, you know, more capable of watching them.
Oh, and then like caught up?
Yeah. And then basically like watched every season as it kind of came out, like, you know, I got to download the next, you know, Sopranos episode and watch that. And, you know, so that was fun times back then in the day. Cause again, going back to old tech, you know, we didn't have streaming where you could just binge it all. And obviously luxury. Like, yeah, I mean, even like, you know, let's say like going to 2007, 2008, I mean, you would have had to have bought everything on hard copy and watch it that way, which I don't know if my parents did or not. I kind of forget, but
my dad was one who, I mean, he would buy like TV series.
I was totally in that boat too. I mean, I used to collect a ton of movies, you know, certain TV series,
the best thing my dad has on DVD as far as TV show goes, Fargo season 1.
True.
For sure.
It's been a while since I've purchased
a hard copy
of a TV show. Like, I've bought them digitally, but
I almost bought the box set of all of The Office. Mm. And I'm just like, I don't have anything that disk drive.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, everything I have is digital. So,
mm-hmm.
And then I bought it for like $40 or something.
Yeah. It's in like, right now, you watched it all on Max, right?
What was that?
You watched it all on HBO or Max, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's
HBO.
You know, it's there to just stream. And I do agree, like, where, you know, something like that is still good for the streaming sort of agenda, I guess we'll say. But, you know, when you take into context of, you know, what we're looking at now in the quality of shows, which isn't that great much anymore.
It's pretty low.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
You know, I mean, and obviously the next best show that is coming out on Max is House of the Dragon, which is going to be huge, this first season too, which we will be covering, and we will be doing a live stream with a few other podcasters and YouTubers. So
good old shindig.
Yeah, it'll be a nice little community chat event for about an hour or two, and so be sure to check that out on YouTube. We'll have more information on that in the future, of course, but probably once that's all said and done, I imagine we'll probably do our own like take on season two and like reflection of, obviously, like, we're going to get a lot of people's feedback, you know, from this little group that we're in and kind of going forward. But with Sopranos though, it's probably one of the things that gets overlooked a lot when you look at people that were, you know, born to play a role. Where, you know, James Gandolfini, like, I mean, I could not imagine anyone else playing Tony Soprano.
Yeah, now, like I said, now that I've seen it, I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's funny because, like, there's a lot of people in my life that aren't as into and up to date with all of these great movies and shows that come out and stuff like that.
Riley.
So many people. I know. And there is always this one thing where it's like, oh, like throughout the last, what, couple months, two, 3 months, I've been binging this series.
Yeah, it's been at least, I forget when you started this year, but
I started like a couple weeks after you finished Fargo.
Yeah. I think you started it maybe in
right around the same time, actually.
February or January.
Yeah, so about
something like that.
A couple months.
Yeah.
And finished it on Sunday. And but everyone's like, Sopranos, that's television. And I was like, dang, you don't even like watch anything I consider good, but you know that. My dad, he's like, oh, that was television. And I was like, man, you're getting 60 minutes
of
content.
Quality.
Yeah.
Quality content.
Not too much of that these days.
Yeah, you know.
Slim pickings.
But, you know, I think shows like that, and obviously, like, for example, we know the first two episodes of runtime for House of the Dragon.
It's like, what, 64 and 72?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Like, other networks, Disney, can't deliver that quality content like that. And now I'm just talking about the story or like the plot of it all. I'm just talking about literal runtime. You know, like you're paying for this and are you literally getting your money's worth? And obviously like, that's a show that came out a long time ago. So even think about back then when you obviously were still paying for a part of your cable, program to have HBO added onto your cable.
I
know you probably can't remember.
I don't even
know about that back then.
I mean, what? Okay, I know about it. All right. However,
so you're three or four when this came out.
We didn't like have we had HBO because I remember watching some stuff on there, but I don't like remember how much that cost. I don't remember like what my parents paid for cable. Like,
yeah. It's not as much as it is.
Well, I don't know, man. How much is the cable bill? Or how much was the cable bill?
I don't remember the top of my head back then, but
like was adding HBO to your cable package just like a streaming service that was added monthly?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, how much is Max? It's 15. It's going up. That's their ad free.
Well, I have a package deal, so I'm not really affected by it, thankfully.
Well, they're raising it anyway, so.
It's funny. Yeah, I got so this, but it's funny. I got an email about this, and what they said was, but because I do paperless statements, they're going to basically reduce the cost anyway. So I'm not affected by it whatsoever because it's bundled in with like this AT&T
fiber
package that I have.
Oh.
So.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. You talked to FBR about that.
I pay something a month.
Yeah. I mean, again, if it's like ads in the beginning and you're not interrupted, I'm fine with it. Like Paramount does that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah.
You get an ad for something HBO.
Yeah.
Skip. And then you get the the intro skip.
Yeah.
And then you go right into the episode.
Yeah. And I don't, they didn't do it previously on like the, on the show, right? Like previously on Sopranos. Did they do that? I don't think they did.
I don't think they did. And yeah, honestly, I liked it.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's like the intro.
You jump right into it and you're like, all
right,
sick.
It goes right. It's right. Remember, it goes right into it.
Yeah. And then honestly, it would take me about a minute. Unless I was binging, a minute or two to be like, oh, okay, that's what happened last episode.
Yeah.
I would just like connect the dots, but
yeah.
Mostly I would watch one, like two episodes at a time.
Yeah, because again, they're an hour long, so you know, unless you've got a full day of nothing to do where you can knock out six episodes or something like that. Like,
strategically, you can do that.
Yeah.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, number one I'll say is the cast, and I mean literally the acting from everyone involved is fantastic.
You know, it is, but you know what really stood out to me?
What?
About the show? The writing.
Oh yeah, like, well yeah, I wanted to talk about that, but what in particular?
Well, honestly, the ending. Because we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. But
the acting was really good, especially between Tony and Carmella.
Oh God, yeah.
I mean, AJ was kind of annoying, but
yeah, no, obviously AJ man, like it's to really go through an entire list of all the actors.
It's too many. Like
there's
like
so many. Yeah. Like if you look at the wall, it's literally a wall of actors.
That's 30 right there off the rip.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even for example, like even just in the beginning of, you've got the detective who is John Hurd, who plays the dad from Home Alone.
Oh my God, that is him. Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He kind of like, you know, does stuff for, you know, for Tony.
For Tony, and then he kills himself.
Then he kills himself.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, there's so many people, obviously, like with the other, you know, the other families, the other mobs that.
Buscemi.
Yeah, like Steve Buscemi is in it. Like, plays like cousin Tony.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, killing off a guy in their own. And their own crew with Pussy.
Yep.
On, sorry, that's just his name. If you didn't know that, yep. So I'm not
sorry.
Gonna,
yeah, that's his.
I'm not gonna cut or bleep that out. That's literally his name. Yep. If you haven't watched it, so. But
and you know what's crazy? Before I watched the show, I thought he would have been in that show longer than the first season.
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting things where...
Like, I was like, they're going to kill this dude. And they're like, yup, there he is. Rat, dude. Come
people, on. People think, oh my God, like, you know, Game of Thrones is like the first big show to start killing off main characters. I'm like, y'all never seen Sopranos, have you?
No, man. Like...
Or like...
Take notes. That's how you end a show.
It just... It's a way to make people... I think it obviously brings more care and it definitely brings more of a good type of weary where it's like, man, I really want to like, you know, like we'll say, like Pauly as an example.
I was about to say Pauly,
right? But you don't want
that scene on the boat.
You think he might get whacked. Tony might whack his, you know, one of his closest and oldest friends who also knew his dad, you know, yeah. And it's funny, but I. He's obviously no longer with us, that actor, Tony Sirico.
Yeah.
But he was – his character was very unique, and I love that about this show with the writing because there's so many people that are just so different from one another even though they're all part of, like
Sill.
The same – Dude, Sil, bro, Sil.
Sil was interesting.
Steven Van Zandt.
Yeah.
Plays guitar for the boss.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. And did you know his in-show wife? They're married in real life.
Really?
Yeah, because of the show. Guess what? That was his first acting gig.
Loved it.
And he absolutely killed it.
Wow. What, you know, can we sidetrack a little bit? Can we see what else he's been in real quick? Just out of curiosity.
He hasn't been in a lot, surprisingly.
Obviously, he's a guitar player.
Yeah. I mean, he just has this rock vibe, you know. I mean, he, you know, plays in the E Street Band. He's done a lot of solo stuff, but I mean, he doesn't have a big filmography. He was in his biggest thing was The Sopranos. He was in American Dad, the TV show, right?
Sick.
The Christmas Chronicles. He was in The Irishman.
Oh, who's he playing The Irishman?
Jerry Vale.
Ah.
Yeah, he was a traditional pop singer, which suited him just fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Damn.
He was in something called Under the Boardwalk, which I guess is some sort of animated great musical. He was in a show in 1985 called American Flyers.
Hmm.
But
so not much.
Yeah.
Well, he's a rock star.
Exactly. His prowess of just performance comes from him being a experienced musician. And I mean, which not everyone can do, but like, again, I think this is one of those things where I know I've watched stuff about him talking how he got the role. I think it was on one of the like 20th or 25th anniversary, like, you know, group panels that they were like all talking about. It had to have been the 20th because I believe Tony Sirico was in that. He passed away before the 25th.
It was like 2020 or 2021, right?
Yeah. But he passed away after the 20th anniversary. But he was just talking about, like, I guess, like how the script was written for him for a character. And I think there was someone else that that he was going to be.
Oh, like.
But when he ended up becoming Sil, he was like, he just crushed it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he was my favorite character, Sil. And he wasn't, aside from Tony. I love Tony.
Yeah, yes, it's hard.
Sachs.
Dude, man,
hated
Johnny
hated
Stack.
Paul. I hated the New York crew so much.
Oh, yeah, the New York crew are a bunch of bastards.
Yeah.
There are a lot of, they're just SOBs, especially, when Johnny Sachs in jail, and it's, who is it that takes over for him?
His Phil.
Yeah, Phil. Dude, Phil is an Phil's a POS.
Yeah, that's why he got shot in the face twice.
Yeah, no,
unfortunately, in front of his daughter and his grandkid.
I mean, when they start, like, obviously, we're, you know, I guess we don't even really have to go in order, but like in season, I mean, it's so hard to talk about this in out of order, like, but the way every season stacks up. When you see like what happens in season one, you're like, oh damn, like that's, you kind of know what's going on. You get a vibe for what's happening with like Tony and Junior and obviously the other crews.
Yeah.
But every season it like things just start to get worse. More things start to happen, you know, and especially once the feds come in, you know, and you know, when Big Pussy gets killed off, like, okay, so no one's safe even in the family. If you're a rat, you're done.
Yep.
You know, and I think it's hilarious how other mob movies get referenced in this movie, like The Godfather, Goodfellas.
Random movie, Raging Bull.
Yeah.
It was literally in one, I think it was, because every season has like 12 or 13 episodes.
It's like, 13, I think.
And then the last one has 22,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
So episode 20 or 21, it's Bobby, Tony, and Sil at dinner, and they're all talking. Really short scene, and then they stop, and the Raging, I see the subtitle come across. I was like, Raging Bull theme song. And then out of nowhere, Sil and Tony start like slow motion shadow boxing. And it looked like, I don't know if it was improv, but it looked like it was, and I was like, man. I love this show.
It probably was.
It was maybe 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Total scene. Maybe. God, man. Talking and the slow motion stuff. I was like, wow, this is awesome.
Well, and I think it's super funny too, because you've got Lorraine Bracco, who plays Dr. Jen Melfi, right? She's a psychiatrist.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the entire time you're like, is Tony gonna bone her?
I thought he was.
And
in whatever season that was, like 4, I think, when they got divorced. Or they separated for a little bit.
Is they were separated? 5. Yeah. You kind of think that. And obviously there's a really, I think it's in season 3 where she gets raped.
Season 2.
2, okay, yeah.
That was brutal.
That was. I remember
texting you about it.
Yeah, I remember that was a hard scene to watch.
I was like, damn, they really aired this?
Like, yeah, dude. Like back, I mean, that was probably season 2 came out like probably like 2000. So
yeah, it was like 2000.
I mean, you know, like, I don't know how many, again, like for people to watch that now, obviously like it, I don't think it made it any easier to watch 25 years later.
No, it was tough to watch. I was like, damn, dude.
Yeah. Like they were pretty like graphic with it, you know? And I mean, I think they wanted to emphasize, you know, the real life horror. Yeah. You know, which obviously it is no joke. And, you know, I love the fact that Tony was like, who did it?
Yeah.
You know, and literally whacks the guy.
Handled.
And I was like, cause you had to think he was going to do it anyway. Like, this guy is a dead man. He just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah. 100%.
You know? And obviously he has his way of like beating around the bush about him doing it. But you know, it's like,
yeah, but towards the end of the season, you know what though? I just realized that was part of a Tony dream. I was like, towards the end of the season, I was like, he was just willy nilly saying, and then I was like, wait a second, he literally wakes up from that dream, and I was like, oh, I'm a dumbass.
Oh yeah, the Tony dreams were pretty wild.
Yeah,
like I remember
with the talking fish. that was big pussy.
Yeah, I remember what was it? He was in front of a house, and I forget who was in the doorway. But he was like, hey, you can't come in here. And it was like kind of denying. And he was like, but this is my house or something like that. Like,
so it's when it's in season 6.
Yeah.
When Junior shoots him. Tony.
Yeah.
Tony goes into a coma.
Yep.
This is me talking about the writing again. It's like for 2 episodes, he checks into this hotel, but he doesn't have his wallet.
Yeah.
He has someone else's briefcase. And
it's
then,
like a different, totally different person.
Yeah, totally different person, totally different wife, totally different family, all this other stuff. Yeah. And something happens and he gets sued, but the guy he ends up having to be is being sued and it's not him.
Yeah.
And you end up finding out, obviously, this is his dream and it's just like his purgatory pretty much at the moment.
Yeah.
But that scene is Steve Buscemi. Cousin Tony is just as like a butler. He's like checking him in. He's like, everyone's inside waiting for you, but you can't take your stuff.
Yeah.
And then I think like earlier in the episode, Tony in his dream or in his coma dream, I guess we'll call it. He's on the phone with his fictitious wife and he's banging on the neighbor. He's like, shut up.
Oh yeah.
And it ends up being Paulie talking to Tony in the hospital room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Great writing. And then it's the same thing. You hear Meadow saying like, oh, hey, come back or whatever. And then he doesn't go in and he wakes up. But it was his mom in the doorway.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That's coming back to me now. Yeah, I mean, even talking about Cousin Tony, right, played by Steve Buscemi, I mean, he messed up, and Tony ends up having to take care of him himself because he didn't want the New York gang to do it.
Yeah, because he killed Paulie's brother,
Paul's brother, yeah.
Yeah, from New York, killed his brother.
Yep.
And he's like, your cousin did it, and he's like, no. And then he finds out he did. He goes, he didn't do it.
Yeah. And that's amazing where he'll, like, Tony even, you know, he tried to stick up for his own crew, but even though when it comes to handling his own crew, he literally handled his own crew. It's like, whatever happens in my crew, I'll take care of it. You're not going to step in and which obviously I know it's like, you kind of get the New York crew's disgruntledness where it's like, what you know, but he killed my guy. Why can't I kill your guy? And it's like, well, he didn't do it. It's like, but he did. And he's like, no, he didn't. And it's like, oh wow. We found cousin Tony's body, you know, at this cabin or whatever, with, you know, a shotgun, like,
dude, right hole to the face.
Yeah, you know. Oof. and again, like, this isn't the first time Tony's had to take care of his own people, right? We've got who else? It was was it the third season where he takes care of Ralph, Joe Pantoliano, who's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, that was his third or fourth season.
Third or fourth. I want to say it was four.
It might be four. Yeah,
but they're in. Whose kitchen? They're in Ralph's kitchen, right?
Ralph's kitchen. Yeah, because Ralph loses his temper and kills one of the strippers.
Yes,
at the Bing.
Yeah,
and then Tony goes over to talk to him about it, or talking about something else. There's like a couple episodes worth of like passive aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Because
Ralph keeps putting it off.
Yeah, and then they fight. Tony ends up killing him, and then he calls Chris over.
Yeah,
and they have to like dismember him.
Yeah,
and I remember the part where he grabs his head and puts it in a bowling ball bag and zips it up. And I was like, "Wow!"
I was gonna say, I remember like they're like cleaning or whatever, or in the bathroom like dismembering him, and like they hear like something, and they freak out, but it's the bowling ball. That's like going down the stairs.
Yeah.
And they're laughing about it. Like it's just a bowling ball. And I was like, what?
And it's like, there's a dead
body. There's a dead body that you're dismembering. Yeah. It's so crazy. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's just so,
it's brutal. Whenever,
show.
It's season one. I forget. Oh, maybe it's season two.
What?
Anyway, Tony and somebody else, and I think it's Tony and Pussy, they kill these two young kids that were working with Chris, and they decide to randomly try to work with Junior during the rumors of Junior trying to put a hit out on
Tony.
No, sorry, Ralph trying to put a hit out on Tony.
Yeah.
And they go attempt to kill Chris. One gets killed, the other runs away, runs back to Ralph, and it's like,
that's when Chris gets shot, right?
Yeah, Chris gets shot.
Yeah.
And I'm fudging up all the details, but yeah, anyway, they end up catching him after a couple days.
Yeah.
And then they bring him to like this park, this like tiny little shed in the park. And after talking to him, they give him like a Diet Coke. And he's like, enjoy that Diet Coke. It's the last thing you're ever going to drink. And then they just unload clips into
him. Oh, that's what, yeah. Yeah, I remember. He's tied up on the chair.
Yeah.
I do remember that. Yep. There's like three of them that just empty like their entire clip.
Yep, all of them.
Yes.
And, okay, yeah, it was definitely Tony and Pussy. There might have been a third person there, but it was definitely those two.
I think it was Polly.
Yeah.
I think it was Polly.
And it's just like, it's so brutal. And then, of course, you get the killing of Pussy. They shoot him on the boat.
Yeah,
and Pussy knows it's happening.
Yeah, he knows that he's caught, right? And then, who was it that was, who was the one guy who was gay?
Oh, was it Ray? Vincent?
Was it? I'm trying to think who it was.
Hard work.
You finally found the name of the person. Yeah, played by Joseph Gennascoli. He plays
Vito
Spadafore, and he is secretly gay, and obviously that's a no-no in the Italian mob.
Oh yeah.
So he gets caught. There was one of the young crews that worked for
it was Meadows
boyfriend. Yeah.
Caught him. Sucking a
little fellatio going on.
Yeah.
By him. And he was hitting on Meadows' boyfriend every single chance he got.
Invited him to the Yankee game.
Yeah. Tried to literally buy him off. And I think he had said something to Meadow at one point.
Yeah.
About it. And she just didn't even believe him. And then
he went west.
I forgot. Well, remember, he's at a club. He's at a gay club, yeah. Right? And two guys that are...
They were picking up...
Something. I forget what it was, but they see him there.
They run
into him.
Yeah.
Like, face to face. And they're like, Vito? It's like, oh, hey, guys. Like, he's like, no, I'm just undercover. I forget what excuse he gave him.
Yeah.
But he literally hightails it out of there. And then, leaves his family.
Two kids.
Yeah, leaves the wife and kids. And forget what city he goes to, but...
It's like some small town.
Small town, yeah.
He crashes his car, so he walks into town. He's
pretends like he's a writer.
Writer in an Airbnb.
Like a motel or hotel, Airbnb, something like that. Yeah.
And ends up having, a thing for this cook.
He's, a biker, too, or something like that.
Yeah, slash... volunteer fireman.
Yeah.
So, you know, check off all the boxes, I guess, of manly.
Yeah.
Manliness. And then there's a moment where they, go to, kiss or something, and, Vito pushes him away, and he's like, what are you, gay or something?
Oh,
they get
yeah.
into a fight. They yeah. try it again, and then he hightails it back to Jersey and proceeds to meet his demise.
Yep.
I forget how he dies. I forget.
Oh God, yeah. How does he die?
Is it a hotel?
Oh no, that's right. It's Phil.
Oh yeah, walks in the hotel room and they kill him.
Phil kills
him. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right. I remember. Yep.
Phil kills him. Which again, that's one of the instances where Tony couldn't get to his own guy. And so, Tony couldn't even protect him. But I always thought that if Tony did get to him, he was dead anyway.
I don't know, actually, because
you think he would have been like... Well, because
I think he would have tried to be okay with it, but then that pressure...
That's what I'm saying.
And he would have... Yeah, you know what? He would have done it. He would have killed him.
Because I know he said before when he denied...
He's my highest earner.
Yeah, he was a top earner, and he didn't... I think Tony probably would have let it slide, but yeah, I agree. I think at some point, people probably would have just...
Phil would have creeped in his ear.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Well, I mean, again, it's like you've got people that have eyewitnesses, you know, so that rumor would have never have gone away. And then literally it's like, for them, it's bad for business because then it's going to be like, oh, look at Tony's got a gay guy in his crew.
I wonder who else is gay.
Well, yeah, Tony's gay, you know, and because it's like, well, just because he has a wife and kids doesn't mean anything, you know. So at that point, Tony would basically just start killing everyone off at that point. So, you know, but yeah, that's one situation where Tony didn't get to handle his own crew. So Phil's like, I'm going to do it anyway. And obviously that happens with a couple other people in the sixth season where almost everyone just starts dying.
Yeah.
You know, and I think one of the biggest shockers, which you knew it was coming, but when Adriana gets stuck working for the feds. And I mean, also there's just so much about Chris, that, which he was a bit of an SOB at times in the show.
Oh yeah. He was,
he was addicted to drugs. He was abusive, you know? I mean, it's
couldn't write a script.
Yeah. Not a good screenwriter. Yeah. Kills the dude who wrote the script.
Yeah,
right?
dude, holy and then it's like, you know, the last season he starts drinking again, and
yeah,
Yeah, and then he shoots the guy right in the face, and I was like, and then you have the car accident.
Yeah, the car accident.
Tony kills Chris, and I was like, my God.
That's
Tony just had enough of it.
Well, so that was one of the, I think it's one of the, it's always one of the biggest talking points around the show. I mean, a lot of it is like the deaths around everyone.
Yeah.
And to me, I remember that being one of those moments in time where you're like, oh, damn. Like, this almost seemed like it was inevitable, but I almost thought that Tony would have given him a pass. Because in that situation, from what I remember, what was it? Tony wasn't bad, because I remember Tony gets out, and Chris was pretty, like, he was not in good shape, but all Tony had to do was just, like, cover his mouth, right, and, like, make him stop breathing. Like, he, like, plugged his nose or something like that, right?
Yeah, so, well, the thing is they crash, and he's like...
He's all screwed up.
Yeah, and he's like, Tony, help me, like, I'm...
He can't even get out of the car.
And Tony's like, yeah, I have to help you. And then as he's, like, trying to get out and stuff, he's like, I'm never going to pass the drug test. Yeah. And Tony's like, you can tell he's just like, you... He gets out, he comes around, he goes, he's like, I'm not going to pass the drug test, just call me a cab. And he's just like, you know what?
Call you a cab, bro.
Yeah, and then he, like, plugged his nose, because he was... The tree branch, they crashed and rolled. It went right through the car.
Yeah.
Through... the car seat and the back seat.
Yeah.
And then, but he wasn't wearing a seatbelt either. I don't think.
Yeah. No, I don't remember if he was, but,
he just killed him. And then he was about to call 911.
Yeah.
He closed the phone, killed him. And then he called 911.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh,
I mean, it's one of those moments where Tony, again, just, he's had enough because of how many times he's bailed him out in more than one ways, and the crappy part is it's his cousin.
Yep.
You know, and as someone who has tried to be there for him like his father, because, like, you know, he always says, you know, I can't remember how many times he'd always, like, reference Chris's father, but
quite a bit.
Yeah, like, I know he always did,
at least in the earlier seasons.
Yeah. But I mean, again, there's been so many instances of him screwing up and making matters worse for the whole thing. And obviously the whole, you know, Adriana ordeal, which, you know, like, Tony had to believe and trust that Chris wasn't in on it and that Chris didn't, you know, say it enough. Because, I mean, obviously you're wondering, you know, does Tony believe him? And at that point, Chris, you know, became a bigger liability because of Adriana.
Yep.
And obviously, like, we know when we saw him doing drugs again, it's like, man, he was banging the one chick that Tony was banging, and
he
stopped because, like, Tony was like, I'm gonna be loyal to Carmella, you know, finally.
Oh yeah, it's the I can't remember her name either.
Yeah. And then they
both start doing drugs together.
Yeah, that's the kicker.
And then they, yeah.
I remember there was a scene where they're doing drugs in, like, I think his car or something like that.
His car, yep.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, God, Chris, like, you're just, I remember watching and I'm like, dude, you're such an idiot.
Yep. It's like, you got a kid or a kid on the way at that point, I think.
Yeah, he's married.
Oh, yeah, his wife's pregnant.
She's
pregnant at that time.
Yeah, yep. At the time, yeah, because then the baby was born when he died, though.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
Yep.
Yeah. And
because
I remember they went over to his house, I think, or they did, I mean, there was a Christmas. Was it? I'm forgetting my seasons mixed up.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
But they did go over after
Chris died, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And her dad, his father-in-law, was like, what kind of like he, because Tony's like, he died. This is how he died.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Yeah.
And his lungs filled with blood and he died or whatever.
Yeah.
And the father-in-law was pissed. He's like, now my granddaughter now has to, you know, grow up without a dad.
Yeah.
Tony's just like, stands up and, like, left. And then, like, he goes out to Vegas to like handle some business with
yeah
Chris. I think he just wants to get away from it all.
Yeah.
And there's this moment where he's just like, he's dead, and starts laughing. And it's like, it's, you can just tell us this massive sigh of relief that Chris is no longer a liability to Tony, because he doesn't feel bad about it.
Which is kind of crazy, you know, to really digest. Like, when you've got someone who is your, you know, it's your cousin, you literally just helped him die off.
Yep.
But you think about, again, like, he's no longer a liability, and that obviously doesn't make it right per se. But to Tony's thinking, again, like, we're just trying to analyze this from Tony Soprano's point of view. He's like, I've had so many issues that I would not have had to deal with had he just not existed. And again, it's super wild to even just kind of say out loud.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just kind of how life is, you know. And obviously, like, he got away with it because he was the only person there.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no other eyewitnesses. And because I don't even think there was another car there, right? It was,
he
swerved.
There was a car, and the Chris started going to the other lane.
Okay, that's right.
And
then
he adjusted and flipped, and the girl was like, it was two girls that were like driving without their permit.
Oh, like, that's right.
Late at night. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they didn't go back.
They didn't even go back.
Don't go back.
Yeah.
It's drove off, fam.
Dude. Imagine if they did drive back, though. What if they turned around and they saw, like, Tony killing Chris?
That would have been wild.
That would have built for some interesting suspense, because they would have been like, no, we saw him, like, half his hand.
Yeah. You
know, in the window.
It wouldn't have been.
And at that point, I feel like Tony would have been like, I was holding his face and telling him I loved him. You know, like, Tony would have found some other way to lie about it.
He
would
have gotten out of that.
You know, so, which, if there's one person I felt so bad for, it was Carmella.
Oh, 100%.
She was like such a sweetheart, but also what a great actress. She was just great being, like, you know, the mom, the wife, the caretaker, you know, the times where she kind of like went crazy. It's like, no, I don't blame you at all.
Yeah. Like, when Tony took the entertainment system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny. That was seeing Tony. It was more so AJ, but then when they were playing like the old like Nintendo 64 games together.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, yes.
He'd like come home late. He's like, why aren't you in bed? Can't sleep. You just sit on the ground with him and start playing.
Yeah, start playing. You start playing. That was like Mario Kart, like, wasn't it?
You'd be like covering his eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Those are like the show does have some wholesome moments, right? I mean, obviously, like, you know, even with
even the last scene is pretty wholesome to an extent.
Yeah. I mean, even with like Meadow, right? With
yeah, especially with Meadow.
Jamie Lynn Sigler, you amazing. And obviously, now that you've watched the show, now when you think about Entourage when Turtle's dating her,
like, I get it. You get it, man.
I mean, she's still, yeah. Dude, she still looks great.
Yeah,
she's still pretty smoking. So,
oh yeah.
But, you know, she was great, I think, you know, acting with. I think I told you, like, they have
a podcast,
like a little bit of a podcast together, which I watched them cover at the 25th anniversary. That's how I found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a few months ago, whatever it was, and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. But you're just hearing them talk about it, like, when, you know, they would have like legitimate, you know, catering of food, you know, and they would talk about like what kind of food they missed. And, you know, even for them being younger as kids, like, it's not like they caused a lot of interruptions or anything like that, but yeah. It was more so other actors, like the other actors on set, like the adults would laugh, they would, you know, there'd be like a blooper or something like that. And just them being kids, they found it funny. And sometimes they would just kind of keep laughing, because it's like, you're at that point, you're still like, you're a kid. It's like you can just kind of like, you know, cut it, go cold turkey, and then get back to acting, because you're, again, you're like a kid and a teenager. So, but even then, like, everyone was just super, nice. And I, which I think is like the crazy part too. And I think it's one of the great things about good acting, if not better, is where you've got people like this in such a hard mob setting, but when it's like, when you go, you know, when you say cut, it's, they go right back to being like these wholesome, loving people.
Yeah.
You know, and, obviously, like, you know, it's a tragedy that James Gandolfini, like, he died obviously too soon from a heart attack, but, you know, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things where, I mean, like anyone, right? Like, what other movies would he have maybe been in, you know, that were like mob based, you know, like, I mean,
dude, who knows?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like there's a lot of stuff that could have happened after the fact that, you know, I mean, I'd like to think he probably would have been in The Irishman if he were still alive, because that had pretty much every Italian, you know, gangster. Or semi-Italian, you know, I mean, even like Sebastian Maniscalco, he's a comedian, but they had him in the movie. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, so it's like, hey, you're Italian? Hey, you get a role. That's basically how it broke down.
Yep.
You know, so, but I mean, I know they didn't get everyone, but a lot of like super known and popular people, but
they kind of got everybody for the most, they got a, like, even if it's for
tiny scenes,
small roles, you know, yeah. One scenes, it's like, dude, they got that guy?
Yeah, no, for sure.
And a little off topic, but it's the same thing with Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
As I was watching that the other day.
But yeah, I wonder if we'll cover that next.
Yeah. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Yeah. What was another crazy scene or death? Not to really just talk about death and be morbid, but pardon me. But you know what was actually a really strong scene? Was when Johnny Sack, right? He's able to go to his daughter's wedding.
Oh yeah.
And then like the guards or whomever, whatever,
the marshals,
yeah, are like, you got to come with us. And like, they like
embarrass him publicly.
Yeah, embarrass him in front of everybody.
It's when, whenever his daughter and son-in-law go to walk out, get in the car, they walk out and the cars block the car, everything.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you're done. Come with us. And he's like,
yeah. I mean, obviously the marshals were pricks, and it's just, it's like, man, like, you, like, this is like literally the only opportunity, right? And I mean, and then he obviously like dies of cancer, which
he accelerated it too once he found out.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I forgot the name of the janitor that was in the jail.
I can't remember. He was a doctor.
He was
worked with like the specific cancer that.
Yeah. And he was kind of telling him, like, you know, what are they telling you? And he was trying to give him advice, but obviously, like, because things, you know, took a turn for the worse. I mean, like, dude, obviously, like, one of the biggest things for cancer is probably a lot of people know, but stress does not help it. And the fact that he's ahead of a crime syndicate, being a mob boss, trying to run it and having all these problems come to him while he's in jail.
Yep.
Which is a stress
level.
While
he's also facing the RICO charges.
Yeah.
And everything else.
Yeah. It's like there's so much stress that's on his plate. It's like, you know, and even back at that time, yeah, like they probably weren't even like really telling you, like, you know, doctors probably like, oh yeah, like don't be stressed out. Try and live in a stress free environment. Like, you can't really do that from jail.
Yeah.
As a Italian mob boss. You know what I mean? Like that's probably like the only thing you're not going to have.
Yeah.
So, you know, and obviously he meets his demise. But I remember that scene being pretty,
it's pretty tough.
Pretty tough. Yeah, for sure. You know, like you, even for someone that's had such a, you know, problematic life, been involved and responsible for murders, you know, illegal activity.
Yeah.
He gets this wholesome moment for his daughter, and it's kind of just, it's ruined. Like, and that's like his memory, right?
And that seemed like the turning point for
him.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all downhill after that.
Yeah, pretty much. I remember that scene where he gets caught when him and Tony are at his house
out back. Yep.
Out back. Yeah. And Tony just sees it and he just starts
turns and runs.
Runs and like ditches the gun.
Yep.
Which I think some kid found, if I remember.
Johnny Sacks'
was son. One, was it his son that found it?
Yeah, because like randomly.
Yeah. I remember being random.
They come back to it like a season later.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He watches Tony run.
Yeah.
Dump it, goes out and grabs it, kept it. And was arrested later on and had cocaine in the car and had that gun.
Yes.
That he said was Tony Soprano's. So Tony had that, and that's why he got arrested towards the last season.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
It's all connected.
Man, yeah, no, there's obviously a ton of what was it? It was one of the one of Tony's mistresses as well. I can't think of her name, but she kills herself.
It was I can't remember.
It was the first one, right? She was
second one. Well, the first one was the Russian one.
That's right.
That kept would always call.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah.
That one. Well, he met
and then he gets with the
car salesman. Carl. Yeah.
Carl. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, and then yeah, it's.
Did he also? He also slept with the one legged.
Yeah. The
helper or whatever.
Junior's. Her sister.
Yeah, that's right. Her sister,
the like first caretaker.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was so wild. My God,
Tony.
Tony, man, just
on top of everyone else he was doing out there.
Yeah.
Poor Carmella.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I obviously you feel really bad for Carmella because like you don't really she doesn't know half the stuff, but she suspects it, and then like she finally falls for
the priest.
Oh, there was the moment of the priest. That's right. In the earlier on. Which doesn't really go anywhere, and it was and like, it was awkward.
Oh yeah.
But then
Furio,
who is like Tony's distant cousin when they go to Italy, and there's obviously some connection there, but it's also odd for both of them, right? Because she always wants him to come in and like you know give him food and like you know coffee or tea whatever it was, just right? And
take care of him.
Yeah. And then he's always kind of like, you know, just going along with the flow.
Yep.
But at one point he starts to kind of feel guilty. Like, I forget, there was a moment, right? That they had like, they almost kissed or something like that. If I remember, I'm trying to remember what season it was, but
it was something along those lines.
They almost had a moment from what I remember.
There were a couple moments like that,
but then he like disappears.
Yeah. And I remember asking you that question, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, he ends up like going back to Italy.
Yeah.
And Carmella is convinced that Tony had him killed.
Yeah.
Like, he ran.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. That's, of course, she would suspect that, but you know.
Yeah.
But
I think that was really it. Oh, and then when they're separated, she has a little fling with the university dean.
Yes.
For AJ. AJ's.
Yeah. Yep.
And then,
because he's like trying to get his grades back up or something like that. Yeah, that's right. One of the things about AJ's character is like
he's a little
nonstop. Yeah,
there's a little glimmer of hope, and then he gets his heart broken.
Well, yeah, when he gets with the one chick, and I can't think of her name.
I can't either.
The Latina.
I really can't remember.
But she had a kid, and something happened, and he gave her a ring, and then, right, she gives it back.
He proposes, and...
Oh, that's right. Like, she didn't say yes. Like, yeah. Like, crushed him.
Yeah. Well, it's like she originally said yes.
Hmm.
And then it's like...
I remember, like,
originally says yes, and then, like, a couple days later, they're going to, like, a parade.
Yeah, like remember them being outside like a festival or something like that.
Yeah, it's the Puerto Rican parade.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and,
right.
Yeah, she's like, no, like I can't do this. Take this back. Sorry. And AJ ends up going to therapy in the last season, and he's like, he's convinced that it had something to do with how much money his family had. Which I think it ends up being that because there's conversations that happen. And, you know, it cuts to her and she's reacting in some sort of way. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things too about everything with like money. I mean, obviously, I think Meadow obviously finds her way on her own with her own like sort of career, but AJ definitely got spoiled, right? And I mean, you know, his, Tony buys him a car, but you know, is, you know, like he doesn't take care of it, so like Tony lashes out at him, you know, and you know, it's one of those things too, because I think he slapped him once or twice in the show
throughout the series.
But obviously AJ was a super dick to his mom.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that's why I feel like, you know, at that point, she as a mother, and I would have condoned you know, him or her, Carmella, slapping AJ, because I thought she did in one of the seasons, like in season 6 or something like that. I think she did, but I could be wrong.
Not that I remember.
But I know AJ, I think it was when Tony slapped him and AJ was shook.
Yeah.
Like, and just couldn't believe it. And I'm like, no, I'm okay with that. Because
sometimes a kid deserves it.
Well, I'm saying, like, number one, like, it's his, it, you know, like, I think, I know people might have, like, different parenting
advice. Point being, though, you don't disrespect your parents.
Well, yeah. I mean, like that, I mean, I think parents have every right to do that, you know, because it's like, when you think about the context of what AJ was doing and the way he was, you know, treating his mother, and then, you know, which is, it's so ironic because, like, you see AJ acting a certain way to his mother, but then you've got Tony who's literally cheating on his wife all the time.
Yeah.
But then he comes home and is like, how dare you disrespect your mother? She's your mother, for Christ's sake. And it's like, but I'm going to go ahead and cheat on her, like, all the time. It's like, bro.
Like, dude.
Tony is definitely, like,
the worst. Hypocrite. Yes. Yeah. But also the best. We love Tony.
Well, that's something. It's like, he's like this, like, anti-hero.
Yeah.
You know, where
he's very complex.
You love to hate him. Oh yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why, like, he's the fact that he's in therapy is enough to realize it, he is super complex.
Yeah. It humanizes him a whole bunch, which is the whole thing. But
yeah. Cause Melfi tries to pull so much out of him, and he deflects all the time.
There's a couple times, though.
No, yeah, he does. You know? He does come through, and he does actually evoke his honest emotions, or tell us things in the actual truth, not just like this weird half truth. Yeah, very vague manner of being like, well, this happened, or like, here's what's happening, or here's how I feel, or here's what happened. And it's like, we know as watchers, that's not true, Tony. But yeah, you know. But yeah, like, AJ went through that whole emo stage, and, you know, he's like sneaking out and going to the club, and people like think like, oh, you know, yeah, AJ's got this. His dad's Tony Soprano. Like,
and it's just like, ooh, I'm broke.
Yeah, I'm about that $1,000, you know, club charge. No thanks, man.
Absolutely not. And honestly, I was never, even when I was going out all the time when I was younger, I was never a big club person.
No.
Over. Just was my thing.
Overrated.
Just not my thing, especially now.
Yeah, still overrated.
But somehow more.
Yeah.
Whatever is more overrated than overrated is what a club is now to me.
Yeah.
I just want to sit down and...
There's so many other better things to do. I don't know. This is my stance, or our stance, but...
so many.
Yeah, and obviously, like, I know we're skipping over some stuff, and I mean...
I mean, it's bound to happen. There's just a lot.
There's just so much to go through, right? And obviously, this is more so, a whole take on the entire series, not like, you know, divulging into, you know, season by season through 6 seasons, because, you know, we would have had 6 different podcast episodes on The Sopranos, but or this would have been a 6-hour long episode, which it's not going to be. But I think obviously one thing we can agree on is, you know, the writing on the show is fantastic. It gets better season by season, you know, and obviously in the last season, where Tony's whole crew starts getting killed off. I think one of the, you know, when Bobby gets killed in the train shop.
Yeah.
That was pretty rough. Obviously the club people, you know, there's like, you know, shooting at the club. Right. And, I'm trying to think where else some of those shootings took place.
Well, so,
cause they end up going to like this, like, safe house, if I remember.
Yeah. They end up getting a safe house pretty much to staying. So not everyone gets killed in the crew.
Right. Yeah. Not everyone. Like Syl doesn't get killed.
Well, the real turning point.
He gets shot though. Doesn't he?
Syl. Yeah. So it's, oh God. It, one of the New York guys says, like, rightfully so, says offending to Meadow.
Dude, and
scene was brutal. He walks into this bar and beats this guy and curbs him.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like a little like restaurant.
Yep. And then that was the real turning point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because that was episode, there's 21 in the.
That was towards the end of the season.
That was episode 20.
Yeah, that was
the second to last episode when that happened. I think.
That's literally the straw that broke the camel's back.
And there's a scene where he's in a therapy session with Carmella and AJ, and his pants are cuffed.
And then there's blood.
It's a tooth.
A tooth. That's right. And
he conveniently pulls it out. I'm just like, oh, but yeah, that was a tough scene to watch.
That was gruesome, man.
And then literally the second to last episode starts, and it's like, yeah, I think that happened in 19 and 20. It's like, feels like this is what's happening. We're doing it. And then, yeah, dude, Bobby gets lit up.
Yeah, that crushed me.
Yeah. And well, the thing that started actually was they tried to get to Paul and they ended up killing the wrong guy and it got put on the newspaper.
Yeah.
And the guy clearly looked like Paul.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Phil, yes.
So then Phil went into hiding.
Yep.
Little Carmine had to get involved.
Yep.
And they tried to, Carmine like proctored a deal, and then Phil's like, not happening.
Yeah,
goes into hiding. And then everyone starts to go. I forget who's first. I think he tries to hit them all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So Bobby gets hit first in the train shop, which is brutal.
Yeah.
And then it's Syl. He's packing everything up because he's planning to work from home.
Yep.
Syl and somebody else.
Because they were at the club, right? And they were in the car trying to get away.
Yeah. And then Syl gets lit up, shot a bunch of times, doesn't die.
Doesn't die.
Goes into a coma.
Yeah.
The driver, can't remember his name.
He died, though.
He ran. He was free.
Who else? There's someone else there that died then.
And then, I can't remember who else. What was after that?
Polly didn't die though.
Polly didn't die. No.
Polly was alive, but yeah, Bobby died.
And then they go into hiding. Yeah.
Yeah.
They go into hiding.
Safe house. There's a couple other people that weren't like very popular that were with them though in that house.
Yep. And then they get Phil in somewhere. I forget where he is. And then they, we get honestly a very tense finale scene.
Oh, you're talking about how Phil dies?
No, just the ending scene.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to remember how Phil dies, though.
Phil is, I can tell you right now, his daughter drops him off. It's either his daughter or sister-in-law or something. Drops him off at a gas station. He's like, all right, I got to go make a call. Two people from Paulie's crew find him. Literally, this is the shot, right?
Oh, that's right.
And they pull up, gun to the head, blow
his
it,
head, you're
and
right off.
Put another one in his. Oh, dude, put another one in his head, and then the car's in drive, and the car just starts, runs over his head.
Yeah,
squishes it. Brutal.
Yeah. That's right. I remember now.
Yeah, jeez. And it's just like, let's go.
So it's interesting that I was just reading here, actually, says that Phil Leotardo, right? His murder was the 92nd and final death in the series. But to think 92 people have died.
That's crazy.
92 people died in six seasons
but
of a TV show.
But is it the final death?
Obviously, like, so we'll get, this has probably been one of the most controversial endings of any show. And it's so funny because now that you've finally watched the show.
I've wanted to talk to you since
I
finished
on
Sunday.
So Family Guy did a funny take on this.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'll show it to you afterwards. But like, I forget what episode it is, but they're doing the same thing. They're like, you know, no one would ever cut off the show in the middle of a set. And it just goes black in like the end of this Family Guy episode. And obviously I remember watching that and going like, that was it. Wait, so is he dead? And obviously like, it's so funny because even like the cast and crew will even talk about like, you know, so what do you think? Do you think Tony died at the end? Do you think he lived? And like, depending on who the crew is, like I want to say like Jamie Lynn Sigler and, can't think of the actor's name for AJ, but Robert, I think his name is, but I think they've said that, Robert Eiler, have said that I think they both believe that Tony was alive at the end, but
I think he's dead.
I'm trying to remember.
That's
if,
a moment that I wish I could have experienced live, because my initial reactions to watching this, I was watching it. It was very tense for me, which is what I like. It was incredibly tense. And then it hits black and you're like, so my initial reaction was same as you. For a couple seconds, I'm like, wait, where's the fade in? And then the credits roll and I was like, that's it. And I'm like, wait a sec. So once I figured out what that meant, what I was going for, because I looked it up after.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's genius. Which is that quote from Bobby where they're talking about getting whacked. And Bobby's like, well, it's so quick, you probably don't even hear it. It's just 1 second you're there, the next second it's lights out. It's something along those lines. And then you get that in the finale with this, you get the tense cut scenes every time the door opens, Tony looks up.
Yep.
You got the guy who looks sus sitting at the bar, and then he goes to the bathroom, and then Metal can't park her car. And it's just, this one article I read where it was like, if Meadow parked her car, she would have been sitting right next to Tony.
Yep.
And if you think Tony got shot, he wouldn't have gotten shot, because Tony's like, you know, the family never gets touched.
And as I know, that was one of the things where a lot of people, you know, have actually said, like, again, it's open to interpretation. I mean, even kind of just, you know, reading how David Chase has said, like, he didn't even realize that it was going to be like such an uproar. Right.
Well, but I think originally he wanted to do, because the show intro is him driving from New York back to Jersey.
Yeah.
I guess he wanted originally to have him driving to New York and he was going to get whacked, I guess was the idea. I'm glad though that the feds never built up their case against him. That would have been like, for him to get caught by the feds, that would have been like, damn it, dude.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it was good that he didn't, and I'm glad like it wasn't written that way, just because they already got Johnny Sack. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, obviously that they were trying to get Junior on the Rico stuff, right? So like, it's like
they got a job.
The feds already kind of got their, you know, their people. And even then I forgot the two feds that, you know, would kind of come by like the deli.
I can't remember their names, but they ended up working in the terror department.
Yeah. They were like, you know, cause obviously 9/11 had happened. Yeah. And so they were like, you know, if you hear anyone, you know, then just kind of let us know. Yeah. Chase says, I thought the ending would be somewhat jarring, but not to the extent that it was and not a subject of such discussion. I really had no idea about that. I never considered the black a shot. I just thought what we see is black. The ceiling I was going for at that point, the biggest feeling I was going for, honestly, was don't stop believing. It was very simple and much more on the nose than people think. That's what I wanted people to believe, that life ends and death comes, but don't stop believing. So,
huh.
Yeah, he says, and the theories regarding Bobby Bacala's comments foreshadowing Tony's death, he says, when it's over, I think you're probably always blindsided by it, Chase offered. That's all I can say. So,
interesting.
I didn't watch the, there was like a prequel, right?
Oh, a movie.
Yeah, The Many Saints of Newark.
His son plays a young Tony.
Yeah. I guess in a...
Ray Liotta's in that. R.I.P.
Yeah. Yeah. Another
great Goodfellas
actor, right? The scene in my mind was not that scene, nor did I think of cutting to black. I had a scene in which Tony comes back from a meeting in New York in his car. At the beginning of every show, he came back from New York into New Jersey. And the last scene could be him coming from New Jersey back to New York for a meeting at which he was going to be killed. But that was not it. So this is something from James Gandolfini. He said in 2012, said, after I had a day to sleep, I just sat there and said, that's perfect. I mean, yeah, like,
dude, it was a great, you know, you said,
I think it might be the best ending to any TV show.
I see. Maybe it's because it's still so fresh.
What?
But I mean, Breaking Bad is, I think, the best ending to a TV show I've seen. But I mean, this is incredibly close.
Well, the only thing about Breaking Bad is, you know, Walter White dies. So like, there's like this definitive, it's over.
Yeah.
And then the way they do it, you know, it's like, that's that. And then even with, what was it, El Camino, when you kind of hear like Jesse on like, has it on the radio and there's the cops are talking, like, you know, I mean, you get more confirmation that, oh yeah, no, he did die.
Well, yeah.
But that's the thing. This was such a controversial moment where, like, again, even though David Chase was like, I didn't think that it would just be all this commotion with just cutting to black. Because, like, the last thing you see is just Tony's face. And it's boom.
Yep.
Credits. You know? I mean, I always believed that he was alive because, again, like, it's I mean, obviously, it's a very subjective thing to think about and to talk about. I mean, obviously, since 2007, where my whole argument was, you know, was that the two dudes that were trying to go in to hit him, or was that Meadow finally walking in?
Mm.
You know, and
see, I think it was the guy that walked to the bathroom.
But if they walk, well, that's the thing. Like, either because you don't see him walk out of the bathroom. And obviously, like, that's where, like, you kind of think, if he's still in the bathroom, how'd the guy in the bathroom know that the guy is trying to walk in at the same time? You know, so he gets, so, like, Tony would then be ambushed. Like, it's...
So I think it's just that one guy. That's what I'm, unfortunately,
but going the thing to is believe is happened. Right, but then the thing is, like, his family is with him. So, like, you think, again, what happens if one of the other, AJ or Carmella, you know, or Meadow, take a bullet.
What happened when the fake Phil got killed?
Yeah.
His daughter got in the way and they're like, eh. Whatever.
Well, I mean,
family's different.
Yeah,
for sure. But yeah, no, I think the guy,
those are two like hired thugs or whatever though. Like,
I think. But I think the guy that walked in with AJ sat at the bar, kept looking at Tony and then walked into the bathroom and I think came out, killed him. I hate that I believe this and I hate that the Sopranos don't ride off into the sunset. However, to me, it was just, and I think it's because that initial reaction, I was like, that is, it just ends.
Yeah.
And I'm like, even though that's clearly not what he was really going for, I'm like, that's still just amazing. Yeah,
like,
to think about.
And again, like, because you even have David Chase saying, like, I didn't write it to be intending, like the fade to black.
It's like he alluded to it by saying, like, life and death comes and goes, but, like, just don't stop. It just ends, but just don't stop believing.
The fact that he said don't stop believing, just, it's like, okay, you didn't write that off to intend to hit for him to die. Because, like he said, he was going to have a scene of him writing to a meeting to get killed off, but that's not how it was written. So
yeah, I'm unfortunately going to believe that, but regardless.
Believe what? That he's alive?
No. That he's dead.
If you don't see him die on screen, he's not
it's,
dead.
It's yep, it's unconfirmed, but once again, RIP to James.
James Gandolfini. Yeah.
You know, since he's unfortunately passed away in real life too, Soprano is officially
This is from a year ago. In an interview on YouTube Talking Sopranos, David Chase denies confirming that Tony dies.
Ooh.
So, interesting.
Huh. Yeah, that is interesting. So he's alive.
Apparently.
Huh. Well.
After all these years later, which, I mean, you know, I think later, I think again, if you waited 25 years to hear that being be said, then it's kind of cool. But there again, like, you know, if I guess I was already watching this then.
I'm dead.
That's so funny. Is it, you got Bobby and Chris, the two actors here.
Nice.
But yeah.
Huh. Hey. Well, all right. It's settled.
But I wonder though, for those listening, like, did you think, if you've seen The Sopranos, and I guess it's kind of cat's out of bag 25 years.
Get together, people.
Yeah.
I can say it now.
Yeah. If you haven't watched The Sopranos yet, what are you waiting for?
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I texted an old friend of mine that was always telling me to watch it.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you are never going to believe what I finally watched. And you were right. I unfortunately didn't respond, but yeah, just it's a good show. What do you give it?
95.
Yeah.
Easy. Yeah. It's definitely like one of my all time favorite shows. 100%.
Yeah, I go with like a 94.
Yeah, like I won't watch it every year, obviously, because that's that's a lot to watch, you know. But like. Like every so often, like I'll watch it, you know. But
I feel included.
I mean, I think it's good pop culture to be aware of, right? Because like I know, for example, in Family Guy, obviously they you know Seth MacFarlane loves, you know, that's just littered. That whole show is littered with pop culture. Number one.
Oh yeah.
But there's a season where Brian dies in the show. And they get this new dog, and it's Tony Sirico. It probably plays.
Oh yeah, shit.
It's like the Italian dog, and you know it's so funny. I was like, oh my god, it's Tony Sirico, dude. It's so funny. But man, like you know, it's like oh, hey, it's just yeah, it's just those kind of moments. Whoa!
They were always doing that.
Where's the gabagool?
Hey.
Hey, oh, whoa.
And then Syl was always impersonating Al Pacino,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
And he was always... Funny.
Meh. Meh.
Eh. Tone. Meh.
Tone. Meh. Meh. Yeah, the mannerisms in the show are just amazing, you know. But, yeah... It's definitely something that, I've always highly suggested. So, but if you've watched this before, or if it's been a while and you want to go back and watch it or not, and if you haven't seen it, sorry for spoilers, but did you think that Tony was alive or dead at the end?
Yeah, this is something I'm really gonna ask everybody about now because. My lid is a little flipped, especially with the confirmation that he's not dead. I'm like, you know what though? But like,
even though like,
but like, I don't know, man,
even with confirmation, like it's still a great talking point though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still one of those things that, and again, I think it's those moments are open to interpretation, but like when it came out though, in 2007, it's not like the internet was super fluent with conversation either. Like there were some forums and message boards, but I mean it's nothing like it was today. Like I mean sure MySpace was around, but It's not what people talk. That's not what it was used for. You know, like we're like today's society, you know,
you know, let me ask, being a mega fan of both, would you say it's equally as comparable as whether Han or Greedo shot first? As far as
I definitely think it's one of those big things up there, you know, which again, Han shot first, but it's interesting.
Did he?
Yeah. In the original cut,
he did shoot first.
He did shoot first.
In the
remake,
Greedo shoots and
yeah, Han like kind of like moves,
and it's just like, well, that's just not right.
Yeah.
Who put Kathleen Kennedy in the editing room?
George, maybe we just have Greedo shoot first this time.
You know what's funny? After I just made that Kathleen Kennedy joke, the original actor that played Greedo was a woman.
I wonder if that was Kathleen Kennedy.
So that's pretty funny.
Oh, man.
Anywho, we love Star Wars so much.
We love George Lucas's Star Wars.
Yeah, we do.
That's for sure. Yep. But yeah, if you have any comments and you want to, you know, let us know what they are, by all means,
hit us up
on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, we're still indecisive. I still call both, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can find us at Plot Strikes Back.
No, the.
And say, I thought Sopranos was great, whatever. Thought Tony didn't die, or thought Tony died at the end. And
seriously, you know, hit us up about the did Tony die, because like I said, my lid is flipped. I need to discuss this with people who have seen it.
Yeah, who are your favorite characters? You know, what was your
who's your favorite character?
I mean, it's Tony.
Probably Tony, right?
Yeah, but aside from that, because like if we're excluding Tony, right, then it might be Syl.
I love Syl.
It might be Syl. Like, there are times when I like Polly a lot, but
I side with Tony.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, does he shut up sometimes?
Yeah. Cause Syl's just like,
he's cool.
He's Tony's for sure. Like,
he's his right hand man. Yeah.
Like, you know, like ride or die, you know, like he never does anything that puts Tony's life or family in jeopardy.
Yep.
He doesn't go off and do stupid things. He doesn't go off and make stupid decisions, right? I mean, it's like when Tony's in a coma, it falls on Syl to make decisions.
And he gets put in the hospital too.
Yeah, at the end. But so it's a little some foreshadowing there, I guess. But I mean, he has to take command.
Yep.
At one point. And so he kind of gets a better idea of like, well,
the stress that he goes through.
Yeah, everything that he has to kind of deal with. And he's making these decisions, and he's still making those decisions based on like, what would Tony do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and it's like, who best knows what Tony would do other than like
his right hand man.
And so it's like, you know, his second in command. And obviously he held everything together. And, you know, we unfortunately, I remember, I'm like, please don't let Syl die. I was be so upset.
Yeah, dude, I was like, they're going to get away. They're going to beat it. And I was like, oh, no, dude, you got Syl.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, well, Syl's not dead. He's in a coma. I'm like, he's not coming out of that. I was like, he's gone.
Yeah, he doesn't. They don't say what happens at the end of the show.
I'd be curious to know what the original writer had to be like. What happened to the Polly? What happened to...
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's unfortunate we didn't... that would have been really cool to have like a reunion season. Like,
well, Tony's dead. You can't.
No, I'm saying like it would have been. Yeah, obviously. Like, I heard mixed reviews about the movie prequel.
Yeah.
Like, which it's like that's lightning in a bottle. You're not going to catch again.
It's Hollywood.
Yeah. Ugh. Like anything. I mean, it's like George Lucas said, no one's coming up with good original ideas anymore. It's either like,
well, they are. Furiosa is a brilliant idea, but then you have idiots. Buddy, don't.
I know I haven't seen it yet, so I can't.
You
haven't,
so you literally cannot say.
But my point is this, though. It's not.
Hollywood is in a very strange, unfamiliar place.
I think my point too is, in the realm of TV, like, it's obviously hard to kind of come up with newer ideas. I mean, I feel like the closest show that has like a Sopranos-esque vibe to it. Oh God, I can't think of the name of the show. It's actually on Paramount Plus.
Oh,
with Jeremy Renner.
Yellowstone? No.
Well, Yellowstone's great, but that we're waiting for the.
Oh.
It takes place in Baltimore.
I think
he's like the mayor,
about.
Something like that. Mayor of Kingstown.
Yes.
That's a brutal show. It is very like it reminds me a little bit of like The Sopranos mixed with The Wire, which I know you haven't seen The Wire either, because The Wire takes place in Baltimore, which as does like the show Mayor of Kingstown, which I mean, it's brutal. If you go back and watch The Wire, which I haven't watched it in probably a good 15 years. So I'd actually be down to going through that again. But I mean, there's so many people in that. That's again, like one of those moments where you watch this show that came out, you know, 20 some odd years ago, and you see all these actors that were in that show and now have been like super successful over the course of their career. I won't really get into movies, but like TV shows, it's, you know, there are a dime a dozen that are just kind of like, you know,
it's tough to find something that really
it's
dominantly is good.
And like cable television, you know? I'm not even going to include that because Sopranos was not cable television. It was, you know, a prime subscription to HBO at the time. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like saying, well, you can only watch, again, you can only watch House of the Dragon if you've got HBO Max. Right. So you can't watch that on basic TV. It's the same example, but it is fantastic. It's, you know, it's fantastic storytelling, writing, it's quality content. You know, I mean, there are other shows that have been doing that on different platforms, but, I won't go through them right now, but I mean, I'm sure we could probably do a whole podcast episode of like TV shows and that are good in the last 5 to 10 years. I mean, there's some shows. I mean, like, you know, I'll include Fargo because it's unique. It's
great. Taboo was great too.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of those. Yeah, like, I mean, it's tough. I mean, like, you know, stuff like Peaky Blinders,
Monarch.
Yeah, like there's Monarch, Three Body Problem that was on Netflix. That was, again, like there. To George Lucas's point, like there's so many there's movies and stuff that get put out, and it's like, okay, you're doing another reboot of Twister. Okay, you're doing another reboot of, you know, Naked Gun. Like, you know, these aren't new concepts and ideas. Oh, you're making a prequel, you're making a sequel. It's still revolving around the same something that exists. So like, for the sake of Mad Max had already existed long before Fury Road or Furiosa. So it's essentially just a continuation of it. It's not necessarily a new idea.
Mm-mm.
Right. In that aspect, whereas like saying we're coming out with, you know, we're finally getting Dune, you know, from the book. Obviously Dune's been around for a long time. There was already a 1984 make, but we haven't seen a movie like that in 40 years that's actually been adapted properly. Right. Oppenheimer, right? Like, or it's like, I mean, look at Godzilla Minus One. Like, we have the MonsterVerse, but now we've gotten, what would you call it? An ode to the original Godzilla in 1954.
Yeah.
You know, where they use the same scenes, they use the same sounds, like, just, you know, modified a couple of things. And obviously, like, it's the number one watched movie and, like, downloaded, purchased movie on iTunes in the same day, which has never been done before.
It took a while for it to go on digital too.
Well worth the wait though. I mean, as soon as it came out, I'm like, buy. Yeah. $15, easy.
And then I think Minus Color drops in the summer, which I'm gonna watch.
Yeah,
that's the better version.
I'll buy it again. I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah, my dad's the same way.
It is well worth it. But yeah, I mean, again, to think about. I'm gonna get too far off topic, but like, it is tough to see like shows that don't have the same quality of writing and like deliverance that like Sopranos does. again, there are other movies out there, or other shows out there that are good all around with the writing, the stories, the scenes, the cinematography, whatever, you know, like just the build up, the consistency through seasons,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, man, what a show.
Yeah, what a show. Really good.
So, all right, that's enough rambling for us. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Follow us on Twitter again. Watch Sopranos if you haven't. If it's been a while, go back and watch it. Relive the brilliance.
Yeah.
You know, it's the 25th anniversary of the first season. Just even watch the first season again if that's all you got time for. And then hit us up. We've got some stuff coming out in the future, like we mentioned already. We're going to do an episode on Saving Private Ryan. Because it is the 80th anniversary coming up for D-Day here. And that'll be fun. And we've also got House of the Dragon stuff coming up on a weekly stream. And we're going to do a Furiosa episode for sure. I just need to go see the movie, which I'll get on that. Don't worry.
Huh. I've seen it twice.
Yeah, I know.
I will go see it a third time.
Okay. And then
the fucking Octoboss. Dude, you don't even know what you're missing.
I've seen a picture. It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a picture of The Hobbit, too, or The Fellowship of the Ring, too. I've got the gist of it. That's how stupid you sound.
No way. You cannot compare those two to Furiosa.
I just did.
Terrible. You're fired. Just kidding. You're not. I don't know if we're going to do past that, though. We'll figure it out. But there's stuff that's upcoming. And The Boys starts, actually, too.
Got some stuff coming up.
Yeah. But anyway.
Should be good. Should be busy.
Yeah. We'll plan some more stuff and get some more goodies out of the bag, though. So don't worry. The content will continue to flow. Promise. But that'll do it for both of us here on The Plot. Strikes back.